And thank you very much for the last session, the new last session, and the last day of the annual meetings. And really impressed by the people and very good biochar community, and the people are very enthusiastic about the work we are doing. And before we start, and my name is He Long Wen. I'm professor in soil science at Zhejiang Agricultural and Forestry University. But in the last 20 years, actually, I work in New Zealand and in one of the Crown Research Institute. So I went back to China in May, and so still naturalized in China these days. And on the last session, we have probably most people were here in the previous session. And we have the last speaker actually brought for last talk was done at 2:00. So we have one talk less. And the first speaker this afternoon, the last session is Miles Gray. And he's going to talk about unexpected variability in moisture retention between biochars.
Good afternoon. My name is Miles. Thanks for coming. And the last afternoon here. I'm from Oregon State University, and I'll be talking about moisture retention between different biochars. So I'd like to start with this graph here. It's some recent research from Brokoff et al. Showing increases in moisture retention with biochar addition to a sandy soil. This was a turf grass research project, and you can see the soil was amended with different amounts of biochar up to 25%, with the 25% line in green and the control sand in red. And you can see increasing moisture retention at every level of soil matrix potential. Now, it's important to note that this was a single switchgrass biochar produced at 500 Celsius, and given that we know biochars vary based on temperature and feedstock, the question that we want to ask is how does moisture retention vary between different biochars? And the more specific question we're going to ask is whether or not we can use different biochar properties to predict the soil moisture retention of biochars. So just some basic background here, that porosity increases with heat treatment temperature, and especially at those higher treatment temperatures, you tend to have a higher proportion of micropores in your char. That'll be important. Especially given that one of the questions we're going to ask, the first question we'll be asking here is, does porosity created during the pyrolysis process lead to increased soil moisture retention? You can see this is sort of a lower temperature, lower porosity char. And here we have a higher temperature, higher porosity char. And based on the size of these micropores, as you get to these tiny pore sizes, if you have hydrophobic interactions in these pores, there would be no way for water to enter some of these smaller pores. So that's the question we're going to ask here, is whether or not these small micropores are even involved in holding water. And a second question we'll ask is whether the removal of soluble mineral ash from chars increases the connectivity of the chars and allows for greater water storage. You can think of this as something of a cleanup effect. You can imagine some little bits of ash blocking some of these pores, and we're asking whether or not the removal of that ash then allows more water to enter these remaining micropores. So how do we go about answering these questions? We started by producing our biochar. We worked with John Mittema of Thompson Timber and the Pacific Northwest Biochar Initiative to produce our chars. John designed this retort here with temperature monitoring, and then he has manual throttling control for temperature. So we produced our chars with John. It's important to note that these were industrial chars, so they're not perfectly produced, as opposed to some of the other laboratory studies that have been done. So here's what we get from John to monitor our temperatures. The black line is the important part. That shows the temperature of the material itself. And this was a run for the hazelnut shell char at 500 Celsius. So we, you know, given that these are industrial chars, we haven't hit our target temperatures exactly, but all of our targets were about within about 10 degrees C of the target temperature. And you can see this took about 3 hours for the whole run. So this was a slow pyrolysis operation. For our feedstocks, we chose hazelnut shells and Douglas fir. We chose hazelnut shells. They're widely available in Oregon. And also, we were hoping to approximate some of the very high surface area activated carbon work that's been done with macadamia nut shells. We didn't go through an activation process, but we were still hoping to see some of that very high surface area. The second feedstock was Douglas fir, which is also widely available in Oregon. And we were hoping to use this as a softwood comparison to a lot of the biochar research that's been done, a lot of the available data. For temperatures, we chose 370, 500, and 620. We chose these temperatures to sort of give a wide range that would cover some of those known phase transitions that happen. So we have our two feedstocks and three treatment temperatures for six chars, and you can see our hazelnut shell char and some of our Doug fir chars here on the side. So to answer the second question, whether or not ash content affects moisture retention, the first thing we did is we ground our chars and sieve them. We took the sand size fraction only and removed some of that very fine char. And then we completed three treatments for each. We did an untreated sample, an untreated group, a water-rinsed group, and a hydrochloric acid-rinsed group. The water-rinsed samples were rinsed four times with water, with vacuum extraction in between to remove some of that water. This was done in a way to approximate what will happen in the soil when this biochar is exposed, at least in the short term when it's exposed to water, whether or not some of that ash will be removed just by water rinsing. And the HF rinse samples were rinsed with 2% HF, a single rinse, and then three times with water with the same vacuum extraction between samples. And this was done in order to remove as much of the ash as possible. HF is used as a way to remove mineral content from organic soils without destroying the organic content itself. So we were hoping to get a large removal of the mineral content. So for proximate analysis, to determine ash content, we use the standard ASTM method. This is our fancy Inconel alloy tray, which withstands very high temperatures required by the method, and that's me standing in front of the red-hot oven there. For moisture retention, we took each of our 18 treatments, that's our six chars with the three treatments, and we mixed them at 10% by volume with a coarse laboratory sand, and we packed them in these PVC cores. We decided to go for a coarse laboratory sand because it starts off with very, very low moisture retention, so we were hoping to see some differences with the char addition. And then we did moisture retention at field capacity. We used a third of a bar, and we used pressure plates. We decided on field capacity because sandy soils tend to have very low moisture retention at field capacity, so by using that, we were also hoping to see some differences by adding different biochars to our soils. So for results, we also did BET surface area analysis, and you can see that's on the y-axis here, and we have treatment temperature on the x with our three different treatment temperatures and the hazelnut and Doug fir chars in orange and green. You can see that the surface area increases with treatment temperature, and also that at every treatment temperature we had higher surface area for the Doug fir chars. This was a little bit surprising given that previous research that I was talking about with activated carbons and high surface area macadamia nut shells, but also we did not do the activation process here, so these were unactivated, and we have that data there. And then for the ash removal, we have ash content on the y-axis, and you can see relatively low ash contents for, this is just for the hazelnut shell chars so far, and you can see a reduction in ash content with the two treatment types. Now, one thing we're thinking is that the HF rinse treatments, the reduction from the untreated to the HF rinse is showing what is the accessible portion of the ash. That is, anything that comes in contact with that HF solution should be removed. That mineral content should be removed. So we're thinking that what's left over after the HF rinse treatment is inaccessible ash, either within tiny micropores that are inaccessible to the solution or within the carbon matrix itself. So as you can see, we have similar removal for the water rinse and the HF rinse, so we're thinking that the water solubility of this hazelnut shell char, of the ash in the hazelnut shell char, is very, very high. Now compare that to our Doug fir samples, where we had different removal with the water rinse as compared to the HF rinse treatments. Again, we're thinking that the HF, the remaining ash after the HF rinse treatment is sort of inaccessible, so this indicates we have much lower water solubility in the Doug fir chars, the ash content there, probably different mineralogy of the ash content. And here we have the water content data, and we have the water content on the y-axis and the different chars on the x-axis, along with our sand control. For the hazelnut shell chars, we have increasing water retention for the HF rinse, while the untreated samples were the lowest water retention. Now, as you recall on the last slide, there was an equal amount of ash removal for both the water rinse and the HF rinse samples. So given that we have much higher water retention for the HF rinse, it does not seem to be a direct relationship between removing ash and increasing water retention. And that trend bears out here with the Doug fir chars, where we have lower water retention for the water rinse samples. So again, it does not appear that simply removing ash from your chars will increase the water retention. And finally, a little bit of analysis from our data. We have the water content on the y-axis and our surface area on the x-axis. And you can see with increasing surface area, we have an increasing water retention. And these are for the unrinsed samples only, the untreated samples only. So it shows that, this suggests that at least some of that increasing surface area for our higher temperature chars is involved in moisture retention. So at least some of that is involved here. So for conclusions here, we have that the ash removal depended on the feedstock, as we saw different ash removals between the hazelnut shell and the Doug fir chars. And we also have that ash does not appear to be a direct relationship between simply removing ash does not appear to increase moisture retention. That's important given that all of our chars are going to experience ash removal when they're exposed to soil water. And we did have greater moisture retention for all of our char and sand mixtures compared to the sand control. That's important given that we may be trying to create optimal moisture retention biochars, but it also may be true that a great range of biochars may improve moisture retention, especially for these sandier textured soils where they have initially very, very low water retention. And we have moisture retention increasing with char surface area, suggesting that some of that porosity is involved in moisture retention. And this is pretty important given that we also found the surface area depends on the feedstock and the treatment temperature. So we have a way to increase surface area, so we then may have a way to increase the moisture retention. And so going from here in terms of further research in order to create these optimal moisture retention chars, more work needs to be done, especially starting with investigation of the biochar properties that may control moisture retention. We identified surface area here as being a controlling factor. It's also likely that hydrophobicity and contact angle of water on char will be a really determining factor. So that may be something we're going to look into. And once we have those, correlating our controlling properties with feedstock and production parameters, once we've identified a certain property as controlling moisture retention, we want to figure out how do we control that property with our production parameters. And here we determine that we can affect the surface area and porosity of our chars by adjusting the treatment temperature and the feedstock. So we're hoping to expand that to some of the other properties that we find controlling moisture retention. And finally, this is a really important one, is assessment of these changes in the properties of moisture retention over time. I mean, everything in biochar seems to change with exposure to soil. So what we're looking at is how are these properties going to change with time. We're expecting that chars will most likely become less hydrophobic over time as they experience some surface oxidation. And this may be different for different chars. It seems like everything is different for different chars. So it may be that the initially low moisture retention chars over time become the high moisture retention chars. And with that, I'd like to open it up to some questions. Well, we have two plans, either the capillary rise method using ethanol initially and then DI water or water. We've also played a little bit with doing the water droplet method, measuring the angle with the water droplet on your surface. I think we'll use the biochar soil. I've tried it a little bit with just straight biochar, and some of it's hydrophobic, and if it's actually greater than 90-degree contact angle, you can't even do the capillary rise method. I mean, if you don't have any draw up, then you can't do the method. And actually, that's something we've looked at also, is whether or not some of these micropores are going to be hydrophobic, and they may be more hydrophobic in the exterior surfaces. As you get to those micropores, they may be the most hydrophobic part of your char. Right. Yeah, we're not really sure why that happened. That was a little bit curious to us. Well, we still have more samples to go, so I mean that'll be forthcoming, I imagine. Yeah. Well, we were just hoping to get HF is used as a method. I think we took that from some work by Skemstad to remove the mineral portion of organic soils.